Good evening. Good to see all of y'all here. Glad y'all made it out to the house of the Lord in our midweek service. We had a wonderful time over in the youth room. And when I came in, little Jordan brought me a picture here. It's got a man with a marshmallow head. It's got a light there and a table. And it says, "Keep it mellow." And the church, the kids, wanted me to tell you all thank you very much. You should have seen every one of their eyes when they got picked up tonight on the bus. They were very excited. And so they said, please tell the church thank you for that. So it's good to have grateful kids riding the bus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Men, don't forget we'll be leaving this Friday at 1 o'clock, headed to Georgia. We had one that had to back out, two that had to back out because of work commitments that came up the last minute. So if you're not signed up and want to take their spot, we'll be going overnight up to Georgia. We'll leave here at 1 o'clock. We'll get back Saturday evening sometime. Let me know after church. I'd be glad to pitch you in there and tell you what you need. Don't forget to bring your pillow or sleeping bag and a towel, shaving stuff, and a change of clothes for sure. And if you want to bring your weapons, of course, they will have a shooting range up there. Or if you just want to fish, bring your fishing pole, whatever you might want to do. There'll be time to do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone had asked not too long ago, in their mind, they asked, does the singing in our church, right here in our church, does the music program in our church, is it honoring to God? And so tonight I thought I would answer that question with a biblical look at this so that we can see where we're at. Now, listen, music has always, always been a part of worship. It's always been part of worship. If you wanted to, you could go back to Exodus chapter 15 and read it. We're not going to go there and read it, but if you want to on your own, the whole chapter of Exodus 15 is a song. They crossed over through the Red Sea. The Lord parted, but he got on the other side. He starts off with a song. I think about King David. King David was used as a young person with his music talents to even try to soothe the mind of a man that wanted him dead. Tried to spear him through several times as he sat and played his harp. And, of course, wrote many of the Psalms. Well, the Psalms are in the book of Psalms, and all of those are virtually Psalms that he would sing. And you read through them if you want sometimes. Maybe you can put your own tune to it. I find myself sometimes putting my own tune. And then later on realizing, well, that tune and that song didn't go together. But sounded okay to me, and as long as it's going vertical, that's what's important, you know. So the disciples and Jesus, when they took communion, as they left out of the garden, Brother Jim, what did they do? They sang a song as they traveled out. That you can find that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 30 there. So I think this question may have come up, and the Holy Spirit of God moved upon Paul to write it here speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing a melody and making a melody in your hearts unto to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing I can stand a yard away and read that. If I move closer, I can't see a thing. I'm talking about a rabbit. That is just dandy. Well, music's going to be a part of things that go on in heaven. Flip over, if you would, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse number 9. Okay, Revelation 4 is when we see where the voice has come up hither. Then 5 begins to show us things that are there. And verse 5:9 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." Let me say, I do believe with all my heart, with all honesty, and with all sincerity, I do believe that the boys, we can't do that up there now. Up on the balcony. The insurance company done told us that we cannot be played around in the balconies. All right. So let's go ahead and go on with this. So what kind of music is to be part of worship today? And so I'm going to take the Word of God and try to look around and fared around in this, see if we cannot get on in here and learn some tonight. Now, songs of the Spirit have great variety. You might notice God has given us many different varieties right here in our own congregation. You know I'm right? I don't know what's going on, guys, but why is all this talking right now? What? Who? Now let's stop. See what happens? He's trying to answer a biblical question in church, and there's disturbance everywhere. So, let's just read again our verse and try to get another start on this. We might just pick up on this next week. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Speaking to yourselves and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we saw Exodus 15 was a song when they come out of the river there, the Red Sea. David sang songs, wrote psalms, and Jesus and the disciples, they sang songs coming out of the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane, or the upper room in Matthew 26:30. Then in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song. And so, a song of the Spirit have great variety. In Ephesians 5:19, it gives us some of the variety here. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Three different, categories or groupings that you might say. Now, psalms may be compared to that, what maybe what Brother Jim has been singing after getting done shaking hands. You know, Brother Jim says, y'all stand here, y'all shake hands when you're done, join us. Sing. What's one of the courses we sing, Brother Jim? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A thankful one. The people over at the nursing home, they really like that one. It makes me a sanctuary. You know, and so Psalms may be compared to something of that nature, but here's the deal with a course. The course must be and has to be vertical. It has to be that the words are not to get you in tune so you get to sit down real quick. The words are to get our hearts in tune and bring us to a point where we are looking to God. Everything about music that we do in here in the house of God must be looking to Godward. It's got to be looking that way. And hymns are songs of worship and testimony and things of that nature. Wow, isn't that amazing? They put a large print one up here for me. Wow, how about that? Well, if you was to go and you was to look in the back of your hymn book, now, a lot of folks, if we're not careful, we know a lot of hymns, but we don't know him. We replace him with him, and then call ourselves spiritual. Hymns are from the heart because we know him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you was to go to the back there, in the back of your little topical index there, there's little categories. Baptism, there's hymns of consecration, hymns for Easter, Christ arose, hallelujah, we shall rise. There's choruses, hymns, children's songs, be a light for Jesus. There's invitational type songs. So there's a different breakdown. And if you notice the variety in our song book, there's a difference. There's for children, for funerals, there's for invitations, there's for for consecration. There's different types of hymns. And then, of course, spiritual songs, which would include, Sister Barbara, what's the name of that song you sung this past Sunday night? Wednesday night? No, it was Sunday night. The sun's coming up. So that's not in your hymn book, but that is what would be to determine a spiritual song. Brother Joe, what was that song you sung two weeks ago, I think it was. You remember that far back?
Soon we shall see.
Soon we shall see. So these are spiritual songs, and they're including a wide variety of choices and different voices and things of that nature. Types of singing, you know. Try to be gentle here and not hurt nobody, but I like it all. Everything that goes on in our church, I think it's God honored. That's my answer. Straight out on the short. But I think we need to get a little look in here and look at it and see. And so I think this question possibly was put on by somebody in Ephesians. And the Lord said, well, we need to answer this here. And so he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as it went. And so Paul's intent, and I think the Holy Spirit's intent, was since this is an eternal book, since the Bible is eternal, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So it's for all times. I think what Paul was writing here spans into our time. I don't think it was closed right there. It says, bang. Because if that was the case, we couldn't be singing Amazing Grace running around here, could we? No. We couldn't be opening up this hymn book because, look here, this here song was written in 1944. Leave it there. How about that new one I told you? Brother, what's that, 207 we've been learning, Brother Jim? 207, yeah, I want to be a worker. It's so new, they don't even have a date here when it was written. Well, it's possible they might have brought it up out of Ephesus. Who knows? They don't have a date here in it. But here's a, let's find one else we've seen. I want to have the cross, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. 1934. Okay, to the Eastern Gate, 1905. So all these songs are well written after Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19 and 20. And so I think that this writing that the Holy Spirit of God moved, that Paul, it would span across many years what would be biblically appropriate for music. Not preferentially or preference, but what would be biblically appropriate for music. Now listen, as we go at this, remember the scope and the focus of music should be Godward. It shouldn't be that I stand up here in this pulpit so that I can get opportunity to sing so people say, wow, he or she's got it going on. If you had it going on that well, I promise you, Music City would be on your trail. They would be dubbing tapes and records with your name and a label, and you'd be making all kinds of money. Now, I do believe, as pastor of Lockhaven Baptist Church, we have the best group of singers in the world, right here. I really do. And that includes everybody. I'm not leaving none out. None at all. But we notice here that as Paul begins to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, we do have to say that the Bible is God-breathed. So the Holy Spirit of God moved upon Paul, and Paul wrote this down. He didn't leave out he employed the Old Testament by saying we should sing songs, correct? So he didn't do away with the Old Testament songs or psalms as we would know them. He said here, sing in your heart, make it, in psalms. And so Paul, the Holy Spirit of God, employed us to use psalms and to sing them. And many people have put tunes to themselves and sung some of those. And then he said hymns. Well, I told you hymns are like songs of worship. He didn't discard proven, life-changing songs. Listen, this ain't the first hymn book that came around, dear friend. It ain't. They had the Psalms, and Paul said hymns. Ephesians had a hymn book somewhere. They had it, or it wouldn't be in here. So he said, look, these are some life-changing. I mean, you sing something. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, dear friend. When you sing these words, and these are songs that have done something in our heart and something in our life, and they give biblical truths. So singing and music must be Godward, full of biblical truths. Not just good beats, not just good flow, not just good movement of the sound, but it has to be Godward first with solid biblical truths. Do you realize many of the psalms, many of the hymns we sing were not written by Baptists? But they're full of biblical truths in through there. That is what we got to look at. You know, the song. I fixed to sing this song. I'm going to get up here. I'm going to practice. I'm going to play it out. Am I singing to God or am I singing so that others can say, wow, that is a singer? Or are we singing first and foremost that we might praise and worship God, and in so doing, we draw others' hearts to that worship of God. And then when we look at it and say, wow, what a truth. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. A biblical truth. Not just words, not just flow, and not just, but it's something that is meaningful, that is full of biblical truths. And so Paul said here, listen, bring these hymns, these proven life-changing music. And then, spiritual songs. These are also songs that aren't necessarily canonized in a hymn book, but they have great variety, and he left room for new music and songs to be wrote and used in the house of God. Spiritual songs. And so as you read these and you study these and you get ready to sing, first, is it to God? Secondly, is it full of truths? Not just one truth that's repeated 1,400 times, but full of biblical truths. And so Paul says, listen, sing unto yourselves, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Song of the Spirit, dear friends, songs of spiritual meaning, always and must remain Christ-honoring. Always. Always must be Christ-honoring. I would to God some of these new writers will get more back, and there's some good truths in them, but I would to God they get back more to mentioning the name of Jesus. Mention Emmanuel and mention Christ and the Son of God instead of him or he. There's nothing wrong with that every now and then, but listen, dear friend, Jesus. Oh, what a name. Oh, what a name. So the songs that are spiritual songs in nature, like what Sister Barbara sung and Brother Judd and Sister Dyer and others have sung, and my daughters and stuff have sung, the groups, the different groups have sung. I think the men actually sung a hymn, the other day, but the I forget their name, the Call to Glory, what's y'all's name?
For His Glory.
For His Glory. Call to Glory is the book over there. Call to Glory is over there, For His Glory was singing. And they sing songs that are wonderful in nature. But they're Christ-honoring, and that's where they have to be. They have to be. And we have to understand, we must understand as God's people, that in so doing and incorporating it in worship, there is worship, and then there's entertainment. There's great difference here, friend. Great difference. And there's nothing wrong with if you go to a place that is offering some music for entertainment, as long as it's not promoting things that are godless and ungodly and just, well, what is it? This is probably old now, but ratchet. Is that still a word that the teenagers use? What in the world? My daughter says something like, Dad, that's just ratchet. I said, no, I'm not using no tool right now. I'm so it means something. It means something. So songs of the Spirit have great variety. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Songs of the Spirit also, dear friend, also must touch the heart. Because our heart needs to get in tune with Jesus and God so that when the Word of God is presented, the heart is ready to be received. And so the songs, spiritual songs with variety, praise God, You know, and then songs that actually get to the heart where we actually live. Well, how do you know that? It says it. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the song should be heart-touching. The goal of this, listen, the goal of this verse, I believe with all my heart, the goal of this verse is that we would keep the music in honoring to the Lord. And I tell you, dear friend, He deserves honor and praise. Well, why? Well, go back to Revelation. Look at the new song. Revelation chapter 5. And they sang a new song, and listen to what it says. Thou art worthy. Take the book. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal. And thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings, and so forth and so on. So the songs and the goal of the music of our church should be that it is Godward. Heart. In tune with the truths found in the Word of God that connects us through music, through song, that we may be able to honor Christ, our Lord and Savior, for He is worthy. Now listen, John Wesley said this. I don't think he was a Baptist preacher. John Wesley said this. Lift up your voice with strength. Sing unto our Savior. Tell me, y'all. I'll be honest with you. When we're having song service and congregational singing and we're singing together, if there was a way to detect, you know, words coming out in our breath, I don't think it would ever be detected. Matter of fact, some of you, you know, the doctor might come in and think you were dead, you're breathing so little. And you don't sing. Open up your mouth and sing. Why? You know why? I think many times we don't. It's because we're not singing in the right direction. The Lord gave you your voice. Who in the world said a perfect voice was this or that? Who? That's man-made. Those are man-made standards. That's why, Brother Jim, as long as I'm here and you're the song leader, and if another one comes and you're not here, we're not having no tryout for choir. No. Are you kidding me? Some of the best singers don't get up here and sing, not faithful in practice. We're not having a tryout. I don't care if they couldn't carry a tune in a 55-gallon drum. If they want to put a warm body up here, I'll put a chair. And they can say watermelon, 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 watermelon. I don't care. We're definitely not going to say, now listen, we're glad you want to sing to God, but your voice just ain't there. That song leader won't be there. Oh, no. Because God gave us the voice and He said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say sing in an A flat. He said a noise. Now, if we're going to do some entertainment and we're going to take our choir and go make some money, then we're going to have trials. As long as we're singing to the Lord, dear friend, just open up and let it flame. The best thing is, make sure you're singing to the Lord. And if you're singing to the Lord, you'll be at practice. And you'll sit and practice quiet. And you'll practice your solos. And you'll practice your groupings. And you'll practice because you're singing for the Lord. And I don't know about y'all, but I think personally as y'all's pastor, every last one of you want to present the best to the Lord. Maybe if you don't want to present the best to the Lord, you're presenting it to us. I don't know. Just say it. Thirdly, we're almost done. Songs of the Spirit should bring harmony in the house of God. It should bring harmony and unity. Spiritual songs and hymns and psalms, dear friends, should cultivate a thankful heart. Why do you say that? Because God said it. Look what it says, verse 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. What's the next verse? Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual songs and hymns and spiritual songs should cultivate a thankfulness. Thankful people, dear friend, let me tell you this. Thankful people are not complainers and church dividers. They're just not. Not at all. Thankful people are not always looking for something to complain about. They're not trying to get this here and get this one here. They realize we're a family. If we get the arm off over here, we amputate it. We liable to bleed to death before we get a tourniquet on. And if we cut the arm off, then whatever the arm was supposed to be doing cannot and will not be done until we regrow the arm. Spiritual songs, dear friend, flow from the love of our heart that we actually have for God. You know, the love of Christ constrains us. So as we learn to love God with all of our heart, which is the first and great commandment, as we begin to love God with all of our heart, those spiritual songs, the love of God begins to flow out of us. You might be cutting grass and singing a song next door and your neighbor's listening. Here's a testimony. Let me throw this in here real quick. We had a next-door neighbor at our church in Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leedsville, Louisiana. Their house, dear friend, was 30 feet from our church. We built the church on the property line. They built theirs close to their property line. And the man passed away this past year. And his wife came over to the church. She said he'd never go to church. I'm going to tell this guy. He didn't want you coming knocking on his door. You wasn't inviting him to church. I mean, he had a good long list of rhymes, he'd tell you. And they weren't none that we could say in here. She said, every Sunday morning, he'd come out and sit and have his coffee. Every Sunday morning, right there next to the church, and listen to us sing. Listen to us sing. Listen, you never know when that melody in your heart, it comes out. And it touches somebody. It touches. It gets a hold to them. It lets them know. Listen. Spiritual songs should bring harmony and unity and music. And let me tell you something, church. Godly music demands submission to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, listen, that's moving too much of the body and not getting to the heart. Come sit aside. So I don't understand why we got to write 55,000 books on godly music when we got two verses that covers the whole entire thing. We just need to submit ourselves to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says no, just simply no. I don't fight it. It's simply no because I'm submissive to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. We know we've passed from life unto death because we love the brethren. We ought to be thankful that we got brothers and sisters that will stand up and sing solo. You ought to just try it one Sunday. We'll let you lip sing. We'll put Brother Judd singing and one of you men come up here and y'all just stand and stare at you folks. It's intimidating sometimes. I mean, you look like bullfrog, mad at the world. I mean, just look like old grizzly bears out there. I mean, it's intimidating. It really is. You ought to be thankful And listen, we're to be considerate to others. When somebody's put effort into singing, we're to pay attention. It ain't time to talk. When the choir's singing different than the practice, it ain't time to talk. We've got to be considerate. Doesn't the Bible tell us to consider one another? When the teens or little kids are singing, bless your heart, y'all stay in tune with them and you peed in on them. Then when somebody else goes to sing, it's just like, well, ain't my favorite singer. It's your brother and sister in Christ. Be considerate. Sit quiet. Pay attention. Perhaps the Holy Spirit might prick you in your heart. Hey, here's some keys and I'm done. I got to go. Got to get this bus running and get the kids home. Keys to spiritual singing are found in this epistle. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18. You got to be full of Spirit if you want to sing biblical songs and spiritual songs. And then, secondly, Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." You're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, and dear friend, you're going to not have to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. And not only that, and I'm going to throw this one in because it's not in there, because it's just a backup of Ephesians 4:30. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us that we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when we get up here to do a show, and we get up here and it's all before us, and it's all so that people sees me and sees what I can do, dear friend, we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit because it's not about us. The most basic and prominent principle of the Word of God is He must increase, and I must decrease. And so if I get up here to make a show in my singing, dear friend, I am grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Not only that, songs of the Spirit, spiritual songs and hymns and songs of biblical nature should be uplifted to the church, dear friend. Should be uplifted. So, there's my biblical answer to my short answer. I did a shorthand. And so you can all start and stop wondering, and well, I bet that was her. I know it was him. I know it. They're not here. They're not members. They were visitors. Considering moving to the area. They haven't moved yet. And they asked me. And I thought myself, well, you think we'd just be doing it if I didn't? But it was an honest question. And I said, yes, sir, I really do. So if he had that question, maybe somebody else did. And I do believe, honestly, in a biblical opinion, my opinion, but with a biblical truth, I think we are right on target. Stay focused on the music and remember, always about God, touching the heart. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Watch care over us. Bless us, Lord, as we go our way. Keep us safe that we might honor you. God, may we walk about during the day with a melody in our heart, singing unto you songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.